close to, I don't know what normal is, but close to what we usually do as far as service goes. Was talking in Sunday school about the time we've been through. It's was eye-opening for some things for me, and let me see what blessings we did have and still have. And I told them one thing I have learned is everything can be taken away but God. He's constant. Relationships can go, our money can go, our jobs can go, but he can't go. He's always there and he's always constant. So thanks be to God for that. First of all, happy Father's Day. And I'm going to go ahead and back up because the mothers got cheated this year. The corona got you. We didn't get to be here. So happy belated Mother's Day to those who I may haven't seen or thought about saying it to since the pandemic started and we had to take off some time, but so proud to have our mothers and fathers here this morning. And our fathers has been getting it rough lately, so maybe we'll get on the mothers one of these days and preach a while, but we'll be on the fathers again today also, which wasn't planned this way when I'm doing that series. That thing has kept growing and growing. I thought it would only be 3 or 4 weeks, but it's turned into 8. So I thank God for the messages in that and for giving us the ability to see it. Do we have any prayer requests this morning? Remember them. Remember Brad Vines and his family. Remember, gosh, there's so many, Charlene Brown, which is Ricky Pritchard's sister. Remember Ricky. There's the list is just, I can't think of them all. Remember him. You'll have any others? No, there's a lot traveling today. Remember those that are traveling. We've got several people going on trips and different things, so remember them. Pray that they travel safe. Ask you to be with our leaders of our nation. It's no secret that we're in a mess there. A lot of decisions being made, and I pray that they're leaning on direction of God, not being swayed by outside forces, but know it's hard. So pray for our leaders. Pray for from the city governments all the way up to our president. Ask you to pray. And begin praying for November. God will put the leader in place that he desires. I know he will because he's perfect. But ask that, that you pray for that situation. Any others? Nothing else, we will have prayer, and then our singers will come up. We're not going to have our welcoming as of right now. Hope we can start back one of these days, but you can shake hands or whatever you feel comfortable doing. As I said before, you've been told for months what to do. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You do what you feel the Lord leads you to do and keep yourself and your family safe, and I promise you I won't say anything about it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings that you've given us. God, we are so blessed in this nation. It looks like things is a mess, but God, you're in control, and we know that. We know you haven't lost control not one time, and you never will. Lord, we thank you for what you have provided for us this morning. We thank you for the fathers that are here, but most importantly, we thank you for the Father that you are, that you are ever present, that you're ever there. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You make sure we have everything we need, and God, you are faithful. And we thank you for that this morning. The prayer request has been made known. God, I pray that you, your will be done in each situation. And God, I pray for our nation. Lord, we are a nation that is blessed, but right now we are hurting. And as we preached about Ezra all these weeks, we don't need to say them, we need to say us. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Lord, I pray that you let us each one see our own sins and get our own lives right, and then we'll all become where we need to be with you. God, ask you bless our singers. I'm so excited we get to have people singing back this morning, get to have our church back to close as normal as we have right now. I thank you for keeping us safe through this whole pandemic. We have not lost anything that I know of. We may have even gained. And God, we thank you and we praise you. For us in Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand and worship with us this morning. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming.
Man, you enjoy having the singing back? You know, I never heard them say when we're going to have the preaching back. But people have asked me about singers since we started. But I appreciate them singing, appreciate the ones giving their time and effort to sing. Before I get started this morning, I have to make an apology. Last week I was giving out the graduate stuff, and I even had a list. I mean, I had it cut and dried perfect, set in order for me, and I missed one. And I missed Eric. So, Eric, I didn't mean to miss you. He is graduating from Gadsden State. I hope he chooses the Oxford graduation site so him and Stephanie graduate together, maybe. But they'll be graduating August the 10th. Is that the date? Somebody, one of y'all? It's August 10th. August 10th from Gadsden State. And Blake gets to walk August the 1st. And if you go see Blake, you got to wear a mask. So you're welcome to go where you might not want to wear a ski mask. You might, but congratulations again to them. And didn't mean to miss anybody. But I promise you, if you know me very long, I make a bunch of mistakes. And I probably will continue, although I don't mean to. If you got your Bibles, open to Ezra chapter number 10. Ezra chapter 10, we'll be finishing up this series. I know we're finishing today because there's no more scriptures. We're running out. We're to the end. And there's a lot of names, and I wish I was fluid in this language. I could pronounce all these because these names is not here for us to look over. These names at the end of this chapter 10 gave their very families to be right with God. And on Father's Day, fathers, we have to make a decision. Do we desire to be the father we should be? If so, we must be in a right relationship with God. And to be in a right relationship with God, there cannot be anything between you and Him. When I say anything, I mean sin. Are you going to be perfect? Absolutely not. Not a single one lives a perfect life, but we should strive to live according to the Word of God. And we are even offered forgiveness. The Bible tells us if we confess our sins, He's just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't have to be in that state. We can be in a perfect state. And so, as starting this morning, then, and the name of this, I guess if I had anything, would be the revival. The revival has taken place. We have saw it all the way from when they was let go in Babylon. When King Cyrus, who, remember, he was commissioned way back there in Isaiah, that he would turn the children of Israel loose. Let them go back to Jerusalem. Isaiah prophesied it years and years before Cyrus was even born. We saw it all the way from there. And today, we're coming to the revival part, before revival starts in this land. You remember from last week, it had come upon Ezra, had the temple building was done. He had everything set up. He thought he was about to cruise for a little bit. And then somebody come and said, Ezra, we got a problem. There's sin in the camp. There's sin among us. These men and these women have been given to strange families. We've given our daughters to marry their sons. We give our sons to marry their daughters. Even some of the priest children had married the wives that God told them not to over in Moses' writings, where He plainly gave the instructions. So He pointed out that they was in a problem. They was in sin. And you remember Ezra, he was down and out. He pulled his beard out. He pulled his hair out. He got on his face before God, and he began praying. And then thanks be to God, you remember a man came named Shechaniah, who was a great partner for Ezra, and said, Ezra, you're going to have to get up because this is your matter. You've got to handle it. Now, we're going to be with you, but you've got to handle this thing. So that's where we pick up in chapter 10, verses 5 through 17 of Ezra chapter 10. I want you to think as I'm reading this and as we're preaching this today, this is not simply as what me and you today, we find there's something in our lives, we come before God, we pour our heart out to Him, ask for forgiveness. But I do want you to see this part of it. Saying all these things is great. Making a desire to do all those things is great. And weeping about it is great. And doing all those things is great. But what shows you've had a changed heart is when you do it. And these men not only said they had taken strange wives, they came and agreed to do away with those wives, to divorce them. And many of these had children by these women. Now think about this, fathers. For you to be right with God today, what if He told you that you was going to have to get rid of your wife? And some of y'all might have cheered, but we don't go there. But I'm going to stop. I've been a mess. But what if he said you have to get rid of your wife, get rid of your children, and you just had to start over because you was wrong in taking them? Now, most of us would say, well, surely I can't do that. Well, these men had such a desire to get right with God that they was willing to give away everything. Not only did their families go with this, all their possessions went with it. It was a tough thing. So Ezra chapter 10, begin reading in verse number 5. Said, then arose Ezra and made the chief priest and the Levites and all Israel to swear that they should do according to this word, and they swear. Then Ezra rose up from the house of God and went into the chamber of Johanan, the son of Eliashib. And when he had come hither, he did eat no bread nor drink water, for he mourned because of the transgression of them that had been carried away. And they made proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem unto all the children of the captivity that they should gather themselves together into Jerusalem. And whatsoever would not come, and whosoever would not come within 3 days, according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, all his substance should be forfeited, and himself separated from the congregation of those that had been carried away. Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together to Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the 9th month, on the 20th day of the month, and all the people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling because of this matter and for the great rain. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, you have transgressed, and you have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore make confession to the Lord God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. But the people are many, and it is a time of much rain, and we're not able to stand without. Neither is this a work of one day or two. For we are many that have transgressed in this thing. Let now our rulers of the congregation stand, and let all them which have taken strange wives in our cities come at appointed times. And with them the elders of every city, and the judges thereof, until the fierce wrath of our God for this matter be turned from us. Only Jonathan the son of Eshiel and Jahazah the son of Tikvah were employed about this matter. And Meshulam and Shabitha the Levite helped them. And the children of the captivity did so, and Ezra the priest, with certain chief of the fathers, after the house of their fathers, and all of them by their names, were separated, and sat down in the first day of the 10th month to examine the matter. And they made an end with all the men that had taken strange wives by the first day of the 1st month. Father, we thank you for this word. God, I ask you to help us to understand it today. Help us break it down in a way so the people can get what was going on here. Lord, I ask you to touch my lips as I preach. God, open hearts and open minds that, God, if we are here and we realize that we are in sin, there's something between us and you, God, will you give us a desire to reconcile it, not just say it, but God, to do it. And these blessings we ask in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to see the first thing that was done is the first thing we have to do. There was a decision made. A decision. And boy, that's hard to do today. Is to get somebody, I'm talking about a committed decision. I'm talking about a decision that I'm going to get right with God, no matter what be the cost. And you can't get people committed today for anything, much less to get right with God. But these people made a decision. And I didn't have it down for the guys to put the scripture up, but in Joshua 24:15, this verse has been on my mind this morning. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it be the fathers on that side or the God of Israel. He said, whatever you want to choose is fine with me, but one thing you need to do is you need to choose what you're going to do. And fathers, today on Father's Day, I'm going to call you to make a decision. To make a decision that you're going to get right with God, no matter what is in your life. I promise you, you don't have anything that's so hard that you had to do what these men had to do, because it's not going to call putting your wife away. It's not going to call you to do away with your children. God's not that. They don't do that anymore. It's under the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ now. Thanks be to God for that. So you're not going to be called, but what you are going to be called today is to turn from the sin that is separating you from a holy God. Turn from it. And boy, it's hard to do. You know why? Because sin is fun. All those preachers that said if you enjoy sin, there's something wrong with you. Brother, that is a lie. That is not scriptural. The Bible teaches that sin is fun for a season, but the end of it is death. And you say sin is fun. Yeah, of course sin is fun, or we wouldn't do it. Or we wouldn't get involved with it. We wouldn't get caught up in it. And people say sin is ugly. And sin is ugly to God, but to me and you, sin is beautiful. How do I know? Remember what the serpent did? He gave Eve the fruit. She said it was pleasant to the eye.
It was pretty to the eye. All these people that said Satan is walking around with these horns and this pitchfork, and you can see him, that's a lie also. He is a beautiful creature. God created him. In Ezekiel, it tells about how beautiful he was, and he still comes this way in something wrapped up in pretty, but the end of him is always, always death. And listen, man, I want to bring this to you. And then when he comes and tells you just a little bit of this is okay, just a little bit of that is okay, and you can handle it, that's whatever a drug addict says, that's whatever alcoholic says, that's whatever man caught up in a divorce from an affair says, that's what everything says, that, oh, just a little bit is okay, you can handle it. You cannot deal with sin, you will get whipped. Amen. You cannot. It will overcome you. Make a decision. Make a decision today. And that's exactly what they did. They made a decision. Ezra understood the importance of leaders of the nation making a decision. If you'll realize what he did here, he got a group together. He said, all right, because Shechaniah told him, we will be with you. So it says that he called the priests and the Levites, and he told them, he said, all right, y'all got a decision to make. I'm the leader of this thing, but I want y'all to make a decision because I'm about to go into a room. They didn't know that, but he was. He left them to convene among themselves. The Bible says he went away by himself into a room, said he fasted, he did eat no bread, he did drink no water. He was distraught before God because of this matter, because Ezra realized what was at hand. He was about to tell his congregation that they had to put away their wives. He was about to tell his congregation they had to put away their children. And listen, that's not fun to do. People think us preachers are mean and we like to do this. Listen, I don't like to see you sad. I don't like to see you distraught. But he had a desire to see his people be right with God, and he realized the only way that was possible is he must give this message. But he told the men, he said, y'all come up with a plan. Y'all make a decision and then come up with a plan. So here in verse 5 said that the chief priests, the Levites, and all Israel swear that they were to do according to this word. And they swear. They said, we'll do it. We're going to do it, Ezra. We've made a decision that we're going to put away them wives. We're going to get this thing right. And brother, we're going to go forward. Listen, church, that is the hardest thing to do today. You might get a verbal decision. You might get a verbal commitment. But I'm talking about godly commitment that's going to stay the course no matter what comes. I'm talking about a commitment from people that they don't care who don't like it and everything. They're going to get right with God. They're going to see their families right with God. They're going to see their houses right with God, their church right with God. And they don't even care what the costs are. I'm talking about that kind of commitment. Ezra understood the leaders must be on board. You notice how he didn't start with the bottom ones? The ones who was just laymen? He didn't start with just the attendees of the temple. He didn't start with just the average crowd in Jerusalem. Brother, he started with the leaders of this thing. He said, y'all make a decision. Listen, church leaders who are here today and some that may be watching on Facebook or whatever, and you may not even be a leader of this church or whatever church it is, until your church makes a decision, you will not make a difference. You must make a decision. I'm talking about the committed one like they did. The leader swore according to the word of the law. They didn't swear according to the word of Ezra. They swore according to the law of the Lord, according to what he said. Now listen, men, how do I know that some of the things we're in is wrong? The word tells me. It says, if I look on a woman to covet her or to lust after her, I've committed adultery in my heart. It says, if I hate my brother, then I have killed him. I've committed murder. And all these things, and the things we think is ever so slightly, is very serious with God. How do I know this? You go back to the Leviticus and you read the Leviticus and some of the things that we do today. You know what the curse of it was? What the payment of it was? It was death. The Bible teaches that a sin has a payment, and the payment is always death. Thanks be to God that Jesus died, shed that precious blood to cover every one of mine, past, present, and future. We ought to shout. We ought to run around the church. We ought to be in a race this morning. Next, they made a declaration. Declaration, verses 7 through 16. There was a declaration made. It says they made a proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem to all the children of captivity. They should gather themselves together into Jerusalem. So Ezra and the men, when they come together, now the Bible don't tell us a lot about this, but I believe they had a meeting. I believe they had a meeting. They told Ezra, said, okay, Ezra, this is what we've come up with. I want all the men, all of them, of Jerusalem to come of around Jerusalem to come to Jerusalem within 3 days. I want you to be here. If you care about your family, if you care about your nation, if you care about your God, you are to be here within 3 days. If you've not been here within 3 days, look what he said was going to happen. All his subjects should be forfeited, and him separated from the congregation of those that had been carried away. Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together to Jerusalem within 3 days. It says all of them. I don't know if any stayed out, but this scripture says all. They all gathered. I wonder if they knew what they had come for. I figure word had got out, but I just thought about that. Did they realize what was going to happen when they all gathered to Jerusalem? Did they all understand that it was about to be time to get right with God? But it said they all came. Gathered themselves together within 3 days. It was the 9th month, on the 20th day of the month. And all the people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling because of this matter and for the great rain. This was a time of year when the floods came. It was a rainy season. So think about this. They didn't have big sanctuaries as we have. They could all gather. They didn't have a big basketball arena they could gather in or this thing. They was all outside and it was in the rain. They was hearing this word and they began trembling because they knew they was guilty. They began trembling before the word of God. And then Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, "You have transgressed. You have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore make confession to the Lord God of your fathers and do his pleasure and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives." Boy, you think there's some trembling before, they are some now. You see, I believe they was trembling because the word had probably got out a little bit about what was happening. But then Ezra stood up, the man of God, who God had commissioned to preach the word of God, got up and he said, "Boys, here's the way it is." Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, "As thou hast said, so must we do. But the people are many, and it is a time of much rain, and we're not able to stand without. Neither is this a work of one day or two, for we are many and have transgressed in this thing." I think they was trying to find a way out right here. They said, "Ezra, you don't understand. That is a great piece of advice you've given us. That is a scripture, by the way. That is the word of God, but I don't see how it's possible. Because a bunch of people's guilty in this thing. There's a bunch of them, so how are we going to figure this out? And have you looked around, Ezra? It's raining right now." And he said, "There's a lot of us. And this is not a work of one day or two." Boy, I think this is some good advice right here. You see, the church didn't get to the place it's in. Our families didn't get to the place it's in. Our nation didn't get to the place it's in one day or two. And this thing is not going to be fixed in one day or two. It's going to take commitment from God's people to spend some time on the matter that is wrong with them. People that are addicted to drugs. We talked to one night up here in Heflin where we preached. And my wife asked him, said, "How many people is actually successful through this program?" He said, "Well, it depends on what you call success." He said about 90% graduate from the program. He said, "But that's not what I call success." He said, "I call success 5 years down the road, are you still off meth? 5 years down the road, are you still off cocaine? Are you still off whatever drug or whatever alcohol? Are you still off of it?" He said, "That's what I call success. And if you look for that, maybe 10%. He said, "You know how I got off of it? He was addicted to heroin. He said, "I was so bad addicted to heroin." He said, "The doctor said you can only live off so much water." He said, "It's a lie." He said, "I lived off of what water it takes to shoot that heroin in your veins is all I lived off of. That," and he said, "for some ungodly reason he didn't know, he ate gummy worms." Said he lived off that every day. And he said when he decided that he was going to get right, he got in his bed with his Bible, and of course he come out to eat and to drink and that type of thing, but said he spent a full year in his bed with the Word of God. But he said it don't stop there. It is an everyday thing. You've got to be committed to it. You've got to keep on. It's not a work of one day or two. Getting right with God and staying in that place is a constant work, and it takes a commitment from people. Hey, listen, I can decide I want to lose weight, and I don't eat no bread for one day. I don't eat no ice cream for one day. By the next day, I'm craving it, and I ate a whole tub of ice cream. My commitment is gone. This commitment stayed. It wasn't a work of one day or two. They kept going. It says, "Now let our rulers and all the congregation stand. And then all them which have taken strange wives in our cities come to appointed times, with the elders of every city and the judges thereof, until the fierce wrath of our God for this matter be turned from us. So all the leaders, what they did, the plan was, you have to really study this to understand what's being said here. So what they did is this, they all got together and they said, okay, we want the leaders of all the cities around about us to stand up. And they did and said, okay, I want you together, the judges of your, the spiritual judges and the leaders of your city there, and I want you to get the men who y'all know, y'all go through this thing. And the men who you know, I want you to write those names down or put them in your head, and we're going to all come together and we're going to decide who is trespassed in this thing. So they all agreed, but four. Only Jonathan, the son of Ashiel, and Jesiah, the son of Tikvah, were employed about this matter. And Meshullam and Shabbatha and Levite helped them. There was only four out of all of these that thought it was a bad idea, that disagreed. And I'm going to tell you something today. As long as you're in a group of people and we talk about anything, we're going to disagree. I'm going to say Alabama's the best. Some of y'all are going to say Auburn, and we're going to pray for you. I'm going to say that this is the prettiest color, and you're going to say that's the prettiest color. We're going to disagree. But you know what? We can't let happen. We can't let a disagreement keep us from going forward. These four men disagreed. And by the way, did you realize there's only two that started, and then they got some helpers? Ain't that just like us? We'll disagree about something. The first thing we're going to do is find some help to disagree about it. Have you heard what he said? Do you agree with this? And you say, no, I don't agree with it. Well, come be on our side. So they had four that was against them. But you realize this is the last that is mentioned about this. Because they didn't let this hinder them, they kept going forward for what they had committed to do. So if we're committed to do the work of God, you're going to have some people that's going to say, that's not a good idea. I disagree with that way. I disagree with that. But bless God, if it's right with the Word of God, you must go forward, not care about what the gang naysayers say, and you must strive forward. There's going to always be those who disagree. So they made a declaration to go forward. And Ezra, he gave it. What a leader he was. He didn't back down. You might think this is nothing because it's wrote down. This man stood in a congregation of men who was about to give up their families. He could have easily said, I tell you what, let's just think about this a while. Those, we had some disagreements, so maybe this ain't the right idea. But he didn't. Ezra stood and he gave that proclamation that you must get right with God. So they had the declaration. Now the deal they made. This is 12 through 17, which we've done read some of it. This was a big problem. It had taken years to get to the point, and it was not going to happen, and wasn't going to be easy to resolve. Now whatever sin it is that's separating you and from you from God, now we listen to that. I want you to understand this. We commit many sins probably every day, but there is a sin that I believe, you may disagree, that's okay, that each person in this room has a sin that so easily besets him. You have a sin that gets you that don't get me. I've got one that gets me that don't get you. But one thing's for certain, I believe we each have one. And that thing didn't happen overnight. It was pretty hard to do the first time. The second time became easier. The third time was even easier, and before long you become completely numb to that thing. It's become a way of life. It's become an addiction. Happens in just a few days. I forget how long they say it takes its addiction to create, but it's not long. It becomes. And it's a large problem. So you need a large solution. So they made a deal. We'll get all these to come. All these leaders will come. We will sit down. And we're going to work this thing out. Now I want you to notice this. It took 3 months. 3 months they sat and convened about this thing and talked about it until they had a number of men who was guilty. And you see, this wasn't easy to come up with because some of them was in their midst. Some of them had sons that had taken strange wives in the midst of them. And in making this declaration, in making this commitment, they probably didn't realize that many of them was going to be their own children they had to give this news to. So they all come and made this deal. And it was, again, only four that disagreed. But as they made this deal, they said, look, we've got to go forward. We've got to decide who is guilty, and we've got to find them out, and they've got to repent. Now, can you imagine a Baptist church today doing this? We would be great about committing about it. We'd be great about convening about it. But I'm afraid before 3 months was up, we'd give up. And we'd say, you know what? Maybe it ain't that bad anyway. But these men were so committed. For 3 months, they strove and they strove about this thing. And they figured out how they was going to do away with it. They said, I tell you what we got to do. We just got to figure them out. We got to write their names down. We got to tell every one of them what must happen. And that's what has to happen. There's no other way to do it. You got to point out the guilty. And you got to say, all right, what you've got to do, you got to do away with that wife. And with that goes your children. And with that may go with your household. Can you imagine what was caught up with in this deal that was made? Lives was being completely done away with. At the end of the 3 months, they had their list made. I would have probably given up after 3 days. This was a serious business and must have been handled. It was serious. Sin was serious. Why was it serious? Because it was separating the congregation from God. You want to know why churches don't have the power they had 100 years ago? You hear people talk about, or in the 70s when the great revivals was taking place. You want to know why that's not there? I believe it's because the men of God is not where they're supposed to be with God. I believe it's where the leaders of the church is not where they're supposed to be with God. And sin has come in. We have accepted it into our church houses. We're afraid to preach the word of God. Afraid of what people will think about us. Afraid of that we won't have any members. Afraid that people will leave. And listen, what I am called to do and what any other preacher is called to do is preach, thus saith the word of God. And it's not even up to you to like it, but you have to deal with it. And I have to deal with it. You see, everything I preach, I don't like. I say, God, that's harsh. But it's the word. And he has not changed. Because times have changed, and we think things have changed, the word of God has not changed. If he said it was wrong in Genesis, it's wrong in Revelation, it's still wrong today. And it will never change because God changes not. He don't care if it's 2020 or 2030 or whatever year it is or whatever pandemic's going on or whatever racist thing is going on. He doesn't care. The word will always be the word. Don't you see the demand of the guilty? Lastly, we see the demand of the guilty. Verses 18 and 19. And among the sons of the priest were found that had taken strange wives. The church leaders, their sons, was guilty. Namely, the sons of Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brother, Maziah, and Elzar, and Jerib, and Gedla. And they gave their hands that they would put away their wives. And being guilty, they offered a ram of the flock of their trespasses. You read on down this list. The singers in the congregation had family members who was involved. Every member of the leadership of the church had members who was involved in this great sin. But it started at the top. Leaders, that's what always happens. It starts at the top. You must find the problem. How do you do this? Well, individually speaking, you simply let the Holy Ghost of God work on you. And I promise you, as I have been preaching, not anything I have said, but through the Word of God, He has illuminated in your life what is wrong between you and Him. You got to go and make a decision. And you got to decide what you're going to do. They made their decision here. And the first one who got called out was the children of the priest. All right, your sons are guilty. They've taken wives. They've got to put them away. They've got to make a sacrifice for this. They got to get right. Notice they not only confessed, but they sacrificed. You see, true confession. With true confession comes repentance. If there is no repentance, which means a completely turning around, then a confession wasn't right. It was weak. It wasn't meant. We say a lot of things, but we never act on it. I say all the time about myself, I'm good at preaching, but I fail at doing. The Bible says we're not to be a hearer of the word, we're to be doers of the word. They was all guilty. But I want you to understand something. No matter what condition we find ourselves in, God is willing for us to come back. He made a way for these men. Yes, it was going to be hard. They had to put their wives away. They had to put their children away. But he offered a way of repentance, a way of revival to come back to this nation. And it started with the leaders and the leaders' children getting right with God and putting them back and coming and confessing before Him and repenting before Him and turning back to Him. And God would forgive them and would heal their nation and would make them right again. Boy, what mercy and grace we have today, church. But listen, it will not come until you make a decision that you're going to get right with God. Then you need to begin searching and find out the problem. Make a deal. And the deal is you confess and He forgives. That's the only deal there is. I'm not talking about a deal where I'll give $100 to the poor and you forgive me. That's not how it works. You confess, you repent, and God forgives. Read these names. You have some time? You say, why do I need to read these names? Because these was men. These was men who was so committed that they gave their families up. And their name is penned in the most glorious work has ever been made. Hey, we've got kids here that'll eat Tide Pods to get 1,000 likes on TikTok. No, it's funny, but I'm going to say it, it's stupid. We got kids that have committed suicide to get likes and they don't think about the consequences. You know, one of the most important things to the young people today, and we have daughters also, and man, they will do some crazy stuff to get likes. And how you're judged by people is how many likes you can get. Well, I promise you, when Ezra stood up and said, put your wives away and your families away, he probably wouldn't have got no likes. But he stood as a man before God. You see, as wrong as God likes you, and by the way, God don't only like you, He loves you. It doesn't matter how much of the world gives you likes on whatever social media output you want to put it on, and you don't even have to do a stupid dance. Boy, I tell you what, and I don't know, you go to Walmart, and bless their hearts, they're doing all this stuff. They can't be still. They're in a doctor's office, they're doing that. They're doing that. You catch them over there with a camera by themselves, and they're making faces, and I don't get it. But we're all guilty. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even after we're gloriously saved, we can get caught up in trespasses and sin. These was God's people. These wasn't heathens. These was God's people who had taken strange wives. The fathers was guilty. The priest was guilty. The whole family was guilty. And through all this scripture we have preached about for 8 weeks, it comes up to this. A decision. A decision and a commitment. You see, all this led up to what Ezra is a book of great revival, is what it's about. And the revival only came when God's people realized the sin, dealt with the sin, and put it away. You read the very end of this thing, and it breaks my heart. The very end of chapter 10, I didn't even pin it down for the guys. Verse 44 of chapter 10 said, all these had taken strange wives. And some of them had wives by whom they had children. Them little babies. They had to put them away. Didn't kill them. Not what it means. They divorced the wife. The wife went, the heathen wife would take the children, and they was gone. They was put away. Now if, I read a good bit about this, there was times of when if the wife was made right through the traditions of the Jewish belief and how God set it up, then the wives was brought into the fold and they stayed. That's why they believed that only about, if you count these names, it was a very small number for the whole population of Israel. Matter of fact, it was about probably 100-something names on the list that had taken the strange wives that had not been done the way God said to do it. And the reason, we're at a time when we can mention this, the reason that God said do not take those strange wives, I don't know. Her skin color could have been different. But the reason it says not to do this is He realized that these strange people brought in strange gods. And that, you know what? I preached it last week and I'll preach it again. Young girls, young boys, you cannot change that partner. You say, we dealt with it for years. I'll say it again. I'll probably preach it till I'm dead. We dealt with kids who said, Daddy, I can date him because I can change him. You won't. You won't change him, it will change you. The Bible preaches, the Bible teaches about being unequally yoked. Now, it don't say if you're married to someone who is lost, get a divorce. It don't say that. It says live a life that you may win them to the Lord. That's what it says. Men, on this Father's Day, I'm asking you, and I'm nowhere near Ezra, but according to this Word of God, I'm commissioned to give you a call today, an opportunity. You've got a decision to make. Do you have a sin that is separating you from God? Anything between you and Him? Anything that you realize through the Holy Spirit of God enlightening your life that this thing is wrong? If you have it, I'm going to ask you to make a committed decision to do away with it. You know what you're going to find? You're going to find it's going to be hard. You're going to find for days it's going to be tough. You're going to find the days you think you're doing good, the temptation is going to come like you've never felt before. But you also will find that if you refrain from it, if you don't give in to it, it will pass. The temptations will become weaker and weaker. Before long, through the grace of God, you have overcome that thing that was separating you from God. Now listen, there will always be sin and things you'll have to overcome. Manifold temptations, it says in the Word. That means many. But there's one sin, such as this strength. You see, those people in Jerusalem had many sin in their life. But the one that God had an abomination against, the hate against, that was separating them was the strange wives. Clearly said, don't do it. As we stand today and as Pat comes forth, you don't have to come down here to commit to turn your sin over to God. It's a good place. I think we should use it. I think we should be in these altars every day praying. You say, people will think I've got something wrong. Yes, right, because you do. And I do. But men, are you committed enough? Are you committed to God enough that you're willing to put away that thing that has separated you from Him for so long? You see, they had been back at this point 80 years from Babylon. Took us 8 messages to preach 80 years. 80 years had went by. They had their temple rebuilt. Everything was looking pretty, but it was just a building because God wasn't present until they was made right. Today, are you willing? Are you committed? I'm not talking about weeping a few tears, because Ezra wept a bunch of tears. His old buddy, Shechaniah, said, this matter belongs to you. You got to get up and do it. You got to put action forward. You see, no matter what the sin is, it is not too big for God. You can't name a sin that God can't forgive, other than blaspheming the Holy Ghost. We know that. But outside of that, God will forgive. Men, what about it today? On this Father's Day, will you commit to give this thing to God and be the father He has called you to be? That your house can be right with Him. I told you about all the temptations that would come, but also you'll see a home that'll start following you. You start following God, you'll see a wife that'll start following you. A wife starts following, you'll see children that'll start following. You'll see your church that'll start following. You'll see your community start following. This thing will start with one person. One committed man will bring revival to a land. It might be you. As she plays, you need to come, you come.